Wish Your Neighbor Merry Christmas. They just came in there right in the middle of that song. It's about a celebration is what it is. So how do you end up getting a dry tank and where you're, you get knocked off your square a little bit? Think life happens. Bad news comes and tough times don't last. Tough people do. God's going to work it out. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through, what's to come. If you're with God, we're going to get through it. And let's be honest, when he's pulling you through the knot hole, you get out the other side, you got a little less flesh. A guy like me, you could use that. I tell you what, I got to just be, I'm just going to be honest with you and put it out there. That song that Brian just sung is one of the finest Christmas songs I think I've ever heard. So give it up for that team. They just do a crush it on that job. Well, since you're here, I'll just give you some scripture anyways. And we'll, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So we're kind of getting into Merry Christmas mode. I titled this Good News. And everything coming, the video will be talking about good news and everything. You guys just learn to absorb it, and we'll bring the ushers and the deacons forward, and we'll let this marinade, get it in your crock pot, and let it do its thing. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lori, all this is another name for Jesus. There's many of them in the Bible. You do a little searching. It'll take you about 5 minutes, and you find out that Jesus has all kinds of names. It's Light, it's Word, it's Messiah, it's Emmanuel, on and on and on. He's everything to everybody at all times. But he says this for a reason. He says, in the beginning was the Word. That means you need to know that Jesus has been around since the beginning of time or more than we know. When he says beginning, he's talking about the beginning of creation because there is no beginning for God. Stop your pumpkin from spinning right now. Just go. God doesn't have a beginning, and he doesn't have an end. He always is and always was and always will be. He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's where we start the conversation today. He said he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So anything that you're stepping on, anything that you're breathing, that's all God's. And just thank him that you're able to breathe his air, by the way. Yeah. We'll get into all the different questions that you guys have around Christmas time. Why does God let bad things happen to good people and all that? We'll address all that. God's got an answer for everybody in his word, in the bowels of his word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or if you're reading King James, the darkness did not understand it. So anywhere God is, the power of his Holy Spirit is, people that are full of the Holy Ghost, wherever they go, light has to disappear. Or darkness has to disappear because you're the light of Jesus. You're like a lantern in a dark world. And you ever notice that whenever you turn on the light, the cockroaches flee? That's what the Word of God will do. It'll make the devils and demons flee right back to hell where they belong. Amen. On that note, let's pray. Father God, I pray today that you bless the offering and all those give, Lord God, at the beginning of the year, the end of the year, whatever time of the year it is, Lord God, we owe it all to you. We're praying that, Lord, we might have started off 2020 in a bad way. We might have made it through the middle of 2020 in a bad way. But God, today we're fixing to finish strong. Rebuking the counsel of the darkness. Rebuking of testimonies of the world. And trusting and believing, Father God, that you're going to do something supernatural here tonight. And I pray for the offering today, Lord God, that you find it pleasing to you. And pray this in thy name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to drop the lights, roll the video. Let the offering be picked up and applaud the Lord for being in his house today. Amen. There. You can rise with me and we'll pray for the word. So, Father God, we pray for the word today. That as it gets out there, Lord God, into the airwaves or right here where we're gathered, we pray, Father God, that it accomplishes all that you set out for it to do. That everybody hears the good news of Jesus and they take it out to a lost and dying world and share it with those who are in desperate situations, dire situations, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated and turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. If you don't have one, just look on the big board there. I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit to bring you the Word of God, talking about the good news. We'll address all the situations, the pandemic, the governments, and all the things that go with it. All the answers are in the bowels of the pages of God's Word. There was prophecy of Christ to come. We talked about it last night in our service. The children in the back got to have their Jesus birthday party. Santa Claus was here. He told the kids as they were lined up here across the floor. Santa Claus told them about the real reason for the season, being Jesus. And he did a fabulous job, him and Mrs. Claus. They did just a magnificent job. And I'm so excited that there's so many people are here to be part of that. And I'm excited about going out and doing our first service out in Wright City on December the 19th, because we believe there's a lot of families out there that want to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 9:6, 750 years before Jesus was even born, Mike, he prophesied that a child from God would come. And think about that. Get your head wrapped around this. After Mary, Virgin Mary had birth, gave birth to a child. His name was Jesus. And when she was peering into his face, she was actually peering into the face of God. Who has that capacity to understand these things? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit, I would say. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called," say it with me, "Class, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Stop for just a second. Pastor Jay, the Prince of Peace, and I don't know about you, Steve, but if there's any time in America we need peace, it's right now. We're getting a lot of mixed messages out there. Come in, go out, separate, wear this, don't wear this, don't take that. I want something that's going to stay around for a while. I want something I can hang my hat on. I want something I can trust. I want something I can believe in. And it's right here in the Word of God. It's His love letter to His people. Amen. You can hang their hat on that. You know, in verse 7, it says, of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice. With righteousness from this time forth forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. So He said He was going to do it, and then I believe in that. Amen. And for me and my family, that settles it. No need for debate. No need to defend. The gospel defends itself. God's been doing a great job at holding up His end of the bargain for some time. I believe it's our turn to make a move. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, say that with me, government. Ah, here we go. He's getting into politics, and that church isn't supposed to get into politics. I'm not getting into politics. I'm getting into God's plan for all mankind. Just, here's the deal, Brett. It's called free will. You take it or leave it, man. Free will's a great thing. You can be saved by free will. Or you can be too cool for school and live outside the confines of God and His plan for your life. Let me know how that works out. I'll still be here preaching the gospel when you decide to come back. If you stay alive that long. So you say, well, what does that mean? So what I'm trying to tell you is sin is a liar. Sin is a thief. Sin will, so what the Bible says, according to John 10:10, it says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come to give life and give it to the full. I'm asking you right now if you're full of life right now. And if you're not, I got good news for you today that Jesus can fill that empty void in your life that you've been trying to fill with worldly things. The government will be on His shoulders. I look for a time when Jesus comes back and the government will be on His shoulders. What does that mean? That means the system that He put in place at the beginning of time will be back on His shoulders, and He will restore a corrupt and lost generation. Restore, refurbish, rebuild, redo, all that stuff because of the sinful nature of His kids. You say, well, what's the job of mankind? I'm glad you asked. Here was the job of mankind back in the Garden of Eden. Our job was just to worship the Lord day in and day out. But because we were disobedient, He cast us outside of the garden because we became sinful creatures. And sinful creatures can't be in the presence of a holy, almighty God. He can't even look upon sin. So the only way He can look upon me and look upon you is through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. So, talking about the government, we'll be back on His shoulders. You might say, Pastor Pat, why are we in the predicament we're in America and across the world? Why do we have this pandemic? Why do we have these things? Because that's the way we want it. You go, well, I don't want the pandemic. Here's the deal. You either got God or you got sin. That's right. You either got God or you got sin. So here's what we want to do. We want to abort children all over the land of the United States of America, and we want God to bless us. Oh, that's our government. Hey, Mike, that's the way we want it. Just like in the garden, He said you can have anything you want, and all your job will be is to worship us, or worship me, rather. And we couldn't even keep from getting the very thing that cast us out of the garden. So why should we expect God to bless us when we want our own type of government? We want to be able to live however we want to live. We want to marry whoever we want to marry, and we're supposed to have God bless that. That's our government. That's the way we want it. He says, you guys can have all that you want. Here's the thing. But if you keep going, it's going to kill you, and it's going to destroy you, and it's going to eat you up. Your sin will find you out. Sin is all wrongdoing, and God is trying day in and day out to restore His children back to their original condition. Amen. Amen. And then in verse 7, he says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the only way we're going to ever find true peace is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that came at about 700, about 750 years before Jesus was even born. And that was a prophecy that this Jesus would come. So if you go into the pages of Daniel chapter 9, this is about 580 years before Christ is born. And there's three times in the Bible, Pastor Jay, where the angel Gabriel comes to deliver some messages. This is the first of the message that he delivers to Daniel. Daniel's in his prayer closet. And if you want to know what kind of prayers prayer warriors, giant prayer warriors pray, we can read in the pages of Daniel, because I can't think of a bigger, tougher prayer warrior than Daniel. Remember when he opened up the windows of his apartment and he just prayed out there after the king laid down a decree that nobody worships another god but the statue that I put out there? Daniel said, I don't care, I'm going to worship my God. I don't care what you do to me. And they threw him in the lion's den and all this kind of thing. See, Daniel doesn't care what the world wants. What he wanted was a bigger, better relationship with his God. And here's the deal. In a world that we live in today, there's people that are self-proclaiming themselves in local governments as kings and handing down edicts and telling you what you can do and what you can't do. Here's what you need to know, brothers and sisters in Christ. All the answers to the things you should be doing are right here in the pages of the Bible. And let all the quote-unquote local kings know there's only one king, and his name is King Jesus, and we take a knee only to him and not to anybody else. Amen. The message of Christ isn't very confusing at all. You worship him and worship him only. He's a very jealous God. And let me tell you this, God shares the stage with nobody. He has no equal. As a matter of fact, Big Steve, when he swears, he has to swear on his own head, because there's no high authority in the land. And that's saying something when you got to swear on your own head. Amen. So here he is in his prayer closet. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing the sin of my people. Wow, what a way to start my prayer life. That I go into my prayer closet and I pray to an almighty God, and instead of a grocery list about all the things God should do for me, I need to confess my sin to a holy God so he'll bless my next prayer. First thing is humble yourself and admit you're a sinner. And sin, defined in 1 John 5:17, is all wrongdoing. So if you've done anything wrong, you're a sinner. And that will be held against you. And the only thing that removes your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. And while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. So he comes here and reveals all these things that are going on, and Judah's sinning, and Israel's sinning, and all these people are sinning. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 5, he tells you what's going on with this nation. And it kind of reminds me of the things that the United States are going through right now. So let's see what he says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 5. He says, let's read this aloud, 1, 2, 3, go. We have sinned and done wrong and acted. Stop. We've acted how? Wickedly. He says, you're adopting a cult practice called Wicca, witchcraft. Wickedly means to be twisted. And you say, what is it twisted from, Pastor Pat? The truth of God's word. Back to our own government. We want what we want. We want to act wickedly. But when we get in a lot of trouble, then we want a holy God to come in and bless our wickedness. He said, you need to turn from your wickedness and turn towards me. That's called repentance. Sorry is when you step on somebody's foot. Repentance means when you turn from yourself and turn towards God. It's called humbling yourself. Amen. I got to tell you a story. wickedness and self and everything. Last night, in the midst of all the wonderfulness and the Merry Christmas and praising God and everything, I got called by my lust. There were 5 boxes of donuts outside. Curtis, I'm just being honest with you. I'm grown up enough where I can admit my faults here. So here's the confessional booth. I walked back there, and I knew they were there. And I knew I shouldn't go there or dwell there. But I went. And I will tell you ahead of time, Lori, I didn't eat of them, but I lust after them in my heart. And here's the thing. I don't know if it, you guys judge me. I don't know if it's, I didn't open the front of the box and look directly in, because somehow in my thinking, if I was just like to pull the back corner up and peek, my head was actually over the back of the box and looking this way. It's less sinful if I just peek at them. To the side, it was in the corner right there, and it's legal in 48 states anyways, I know. But I was reminded by the commercial, you'd have to be my age to remember that when the guy opens the margarine tub, he says margarine, and the margarine says butter. I said, margarine. He says, no, butter. I closed it back up, and I tried to close it so fast I like bent the corner of the box down. I said, no. He said, yes. Amen. And we kind of joke about that, but that's getting into self and getting into what pleases me. And God calls that wickedness in his sight, wickedness. And you go, I remember that when I first got saved, and my pastor, one of his real quote-unquote sinful problems is he had a problem with eating goo-goo clusters. I don't know what they were. I guess they're some chocolate-covered whatever. And I'm thinking to myself in my, you know, my mind, I'm going, oh, my gosh, I hope you don't ever look in my prayer closet. But anyways, Gabriel's delivering this news, and when he gets in there and he's praying in his prayer closet, this chapter 9, in my opinion, is just like a list of the things that are going on in his country there. And maybe you can look at it and go, man, this is the same thing we're having problems with in America right now. The wickedness and the sinfulness and the haughtiness and everything. And I'm going to tell you this ahead of time in case I forget. I'm driving down the road yesterday, and we're coming back. Me and Pastor Aaron, we're coming back from a rodeo. It's late at night, you know, late at night. After you've been up for a long time, it's like you can see tumbleweeds come across the highway and things like that, weird stuff. And all of a sudden, a tractor trailer comes by, and it says Prime on the back. Prime. All young people know what Prime means. Prime, and I asked Pastor, and I go, what does Prime mean? He goes, Prime means, and correct me if I'm wrong, he says Prime is a club that you can get into. If you have things delivered from Amazon. See, we don't have to, if you're gray-haired, Mr. and Mrs. Cope, you don't have to wait anymore for things that you want. You just press a button, and Amazon will deliver it to your house, and they'll deliver it within a couple of days. But if you're under the Prime label, that means you got membership. He said it's like $90 a year, and they ship it to you faster than like 3 days, because I can't wait 3 days. I mean, who can wait 3 days? Let me tell you about how we used to pick our Christmas presents out. We used to have a Sears catalog that come to your house. I need somebody to raise their hand about the catalog right here. Oh, it ain't Christmas unless you got a Sears catalog at your house. And you go through what I did after a while. I wanted so many things. On Santa's letter, I would just put the page numbers down of all the things I wanted in there. Page 96, I want the mini bike. Sears, you could get everything. You could get clothing, mini bikes, ammo, whatever you want, housing goods. But Prime, you can get it there super fast. Real quick. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to close your eyes, because I'm going to ask everybody to drink the truth serum. How would you like, I got away, and I, Wes, here it is. How would you like to be born again faster than Prime can deliver your package? I'm just starting out that way because I'm going to mess the devil up right now. Faster, and you say, Pastor, I don't know if there's anything faster than Prime. Somebody was telling me, I think it was Mike Berger, he said, I had a hitch for my truck delivered within hours. Do you know that you can be delivered from your sinful nature faster? Watch this, then you can even confess it. God, hold on for a second, Mr. Copan. I'm telling you that God already knows the prayer that you're going to pray. And everybody's eyes closed in the house of God right now. Before we even get into anything, you just say, I would like to be, and you stay right where you're at. I'm not, drop the house lights down if you would, Jackie. We'll start this just early. I'm way ahead. And we still got the Lord's Supper and all that going on. Right now, I would like to be delivered faster than Prime from my sinful nature. I want to be born again. You just raise your hand right where you're at. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to even move. Just right there. That person right there wants to be born again. Just in here. And that person wants to be born again. And if you're a saint in the house, you ought to raise your hand and clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Right now. So I'm praying right now. Keep your eyes closed. We got some people that want to give their life to Jesus. It's the best Christmas present you could ever have. And you just pray, you just say, God, I want to be born again. I know that I have a sinful nature. I know and I believe that you died on the cross at Calvary. That's the good news, that you can redeem me, you can restore me, you can regenerate. Lord God, you can fill me with everything that I need. Not what I want, but what I need. And so when the roll is called up yonder, I will be there because of the blood that you spilled and shed at the cross at Calvary. So come and fill me. And come and help me live for you, and pray in thy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, hallelujah. So we had a couple people give their life to the Lord. Now, I'm gonna move into Luke chapter 1, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what Gabriel has done here. He come to deliver this good news, and I'll ask Greg to kind of start the music back there in Luke chapter 1, verses 19. So we're getting ready. So Gabriel's getting ready to deliver some good news again. This is good news number 2. And let's see how this works out. He delivers this news to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they're getting ready to have a baby, and his name is John the Baptizer. He's the front runner for Jesus. He's laying down the groundwork for Jesus. And he has to have these credentials. He can't never have wine touch his lips. He has to be full of the Holy Ghost from birth and all this kind of stuff. So here it is. Listen to this. And Zechariah said to the angel, says, this is the daddy. So he was kind of doubting like a lot of you guys. We've had a lot of people in the church, some of the ladies say, oh, I can't get pregnant, pastor. And we've prayed for him, and God they become pregnant, and I can't believe God can deliver me from cancer. I can't believe God can deliver me from COVID. I can't believe God can do all these things. Let me tell you the story, and then I'll get back to the story of the Bible. Carol Arndt called me. She's one of our seniors. She's been a member of this church for 50 years, and she's been playing that that grand piano back there for about 50 years, faithfully. And the key word here, Mike, is faithfully. She comes here because she wants to play here. She has a talent. She has a gift. She just comes and she just plays. And her and her husband have been serving in this church for a long time. They're the most wonderful people you ever meet. They're fabulous people. And she's been in the hospital. She says, Pastor, when I get out of the hospital on Monday, I have been in the hospital with COVID-19 for almost a month. And she kind of talked about it. She said, hey, I ever believed that we'd be in a place in America where something would keep me down that long? And I mean, she's as healthy as any senior in this church. Works every day, her and Carl. Work in the ministry. I said, God is showing his power to this virus. You may be in your bedroom and you may be in a hospital bed on oxygen or whatever, and you might think that you're alone. But you're not alone when Jesus is living inside of you. Young person, when you give your life to Jesus, you're not alone anymore. Well, even when Pastor Pat is going through some of the toughest times of my life, I know that Jesus is with me. God is with me. That's what Emmanuel means. But you have to invite him in your life. Remember, I told you at the start of the message, free will is a tough thing. You can accept Jesus or you can just go on another Christmas and go, I'll get back to you later. I'm not done living my life. But here's the deal. If you're not born again by the blood of Jesus, you're not living. You're just waiting to die. The Bible says, what is it for a profit a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his very soul? How would you like to have all the presents under the tree? Oh, we think Christmas is all about going, getting primed to drop off a bunch of packages, Brett, and they're all under the tree. All under the tree, you know. Oh, we got a good Christmas going on there, Mark. We got a good Christmas going on. And none of my children and none of my grandchildren knew how to get to heaven. What kind of daddy would I be? What kind of grandpa would I be if I didn't tell them the true meaning of Christmas? And I can tell them, we tell them every Christmas, there is a God-man named Jesus who loves you more than even I love you. And nobody loves their kids more than I love my kids, except Jesus. So here we go. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall this? I know this, for I am an old man. And my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him and says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you this good news. And behold, you will be silent, unable to speak until the day that these things take place because you did not believe my words. Then we fast forward down to verse 26. So here's the second time he comes. And he comes to a young lady named Mary. And she's a virgin. She's never been with a man. And he said, well, why did he pick Mary? And I've studied the Bible and read through the Bible because God knew when he came to Mary, he says, I'm looking for a place where I can birth my son, and I need somebody that's worthy of this task. Because he knew how she would reply when he brought the offering there. And basically, I'll paraphrase, she says, let it be as you say. And I think God's still looking for people like that to do his assignments. Can you imagine God coming to you today and you saying, hey, God, use me. Now, hold on for a second. Use me for what you birthed me for. That is the scariest prayer as a Christian. Because you know deep down inside God's going to use you if you will be a willing vessel just like Mary for an assignment that'll blow your mind. And I'm going to tell you something right now. In the kingdom of God, it's never boring. So I'm going to ask you to rise with me as we get ready for the last part of this message and get ready for the Lord's Supper. And I'll have one of the deacons come and get ready for the Lord's Supper. It says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Can you imagine the fight? As God sent down the order, all through the heavenlies, he's flying through the air. And Gabriel says, I got to get there so this can happen. They were fighting. They didn't want him to get there. Like the devil fights you when you're trying to get to church on Sunday. All through the cosmos flying so he can get to planet Earth. The devils and the demons from hell are fighting him. Go, oh my gosh, Steve, if he can get to that little girl, there's going to be the birth of a Savior. He completed the mission because Jesus really was born and he really did hang on a tree for you and me. When Jesus died on the cross in John 19 and 30, he stretched out and he says, it is finished. All the work that needed to be done for you to be born again has taken place, and all you got to do is receive that, the free gift of salvation. Let's think about this for a second. What would be the best present that you could give Jesus? All you have to do is look in the mirror and be yourself. That's all God wants. He don't need your internet. They don't need your Prime. They don't need your Facebook. All he wants is you. Today's the day for salvation. Today's the day that you receive Jesus. And let it be the best Christmas of all time. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father God, as we get ready to partake in the Lord's Supper today, I ask, Father God, that you show yourself to each and every person, big and little, short and tall. Let them know that they have a purpose in life. Purpose, I said. And it's to serve you. We give you glory, Father God, for sending your Son, Jesus. And ask today for divine revelation. As we give you glory for all the people who gave their life to you today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.